Good day to you. Welcome to another edition of The Front Page on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Chuck Moraz. Today we're being joined by Morehead Mayor Jim Tom Trent as we talk about city business and talk about the most recent meeting of the City Council. And Mayor Trent is always glad to have you with us on Front Page.
Great to be here, Chuck.
Well, let's talk about the recent meeting first of all, because there's something on the agenda from the council meeting that really piqued my interest. You had a presentation from a company that will be locating here in downtown Morehead, Ragent.
Yes, Josh Parker, who's their he's their business development. He's also a salesman with them, and he covers his whole southwest and southeastern part of the United States and down into the Caribbean. He came to present what the gift that was given by Ragent, which was 10 of their what's known as their breadcrumb nodes. And what those are, it's a wireless communication system that they donated 10 to us, and they donated 10 to the middle school. And what he wanted to do was come and make a presentation to City Council and explain exactly how it worked and some of the applications that are there, and also a little bit about what they do. So, while he's here visiting in town, we'll be taking him and showing him some of the things that he'll be working with Ragent. He won't actually be housed here, but he will be someone who helps and advises when they get up and going. So we're very excited to have him here. He thinks that he knows that Ragent is very excited to be here in Morehead and work with Morehead State University and the community as well.
Can you give me some more details about the Breadcrumb Nodes program and how all that works and maybe what the impact will be on our community?
Well, what it is a receiver box, and it can transmit and receive signals, Wi-Fi primarily, but also radio signals. And when they, for example, you can take 10 of them and you can hook them together, and they can communicate wirelessly. And the difference is when you chain things together wirelessly in the past, if one of them goes down, sometimes it breaks the chain. This is a meshing technology where that it basically meshes all of the signal together. So if you lose one of them, the other ones can just go right on. And it has a lot of different applications. You can do something as simple as a wireless network, which is one of the things we're looking at possibly having if it works out right with our the way our streets are laid out and those type of things. We want to maybe have a wireless network downtown for visitors and for shoppers and those type of things. But you could also go a step up above what we have, and there are models that they're working on right now, a prototype that has cameras built in, that actually has an onboard CPU with a terabyte of memory. And they're using these in some small towns around the country, one in particular in Media, Pennsylvania, where they've already been able to use that in a situation where they were able to catch someone committing a crime. And what it does is it's a system that you can integrate with your law enforcement, you can integrate with your first responders, and you can even place it in the vehicles so it becomes mobile. And that's one of the keys. The ones we will be using probably will be affixed to something downtown, but the brilliance of this is it's mobile so that you still don't break the mesh as long as you stay within the range. One box, from what I understand, depending on the line of sight and depending on the topography of the land, has a range of 1 mile. So you take 10 of those. Ideally, you could go 10 miles, but obviously the way that the streets and those type of things depends on what kind of topography you're using and the building sizes and those type of things. But it's very cutting edge. I mean, Ragent's one of the leading manufacturers of this type. As a matter of fact, I think they are the top as far as the range, durability, and all the types of different applications you can use. They're at the top.
Ragent works with wireless applications.
They do.
I know they'll be opening up, as we talked about, operations here in Morehead. Do you know much about their plans for that? Because I know they've been working on the building.
They're still working on the building. It's going to be in the old Napa building, which is down there close to the Academic Athletic Center and the laundromat. They will be. We're hoping that they'll be up and going in at first of the year. It will be a light manufacturing type of an operation there. They'll also have some research and development there. And they want to work, they want to be as close to the university as possible because they're very interested in working with the Space Science Center and working along with some of the things that they have going, especially their CubeSat program that we have here. So it's one of their goals is they would love to see, and they're going to work towards being able to have these CubeSats eventually be able to communicate wirelessly in space, so that again they can create a network, the wireless network, that if one goes down, the way that the technology that they have developed is, it does not break that, it keeps it going. So they're trying to eventually, they want to do that and all different kinds of applications. But one of the big things they do now nationally and globally is they're all over the world. They do a lot with these nodes that we're talking about, the breadcrumb nodes, with mining operations. There's a lot of military applications that they've been using them on because they're mobile. Most wireless networks that are strong enough to hold that much of bandwidth and that much of a Wi-Fi signal aren't mobile, and that's what makes them so cutting edge.
I know they start to hire soon. They'll be opening with a small amount of workers and I guess gradually increasing. Is that the plan?
That's the plan. We know that I think somewhere around 30 or maybe give or take a little bit is their initial goal. And these will be pretty decent paying jobs from what we understand. We've not got an actual pay scale yet, but I know in some of the preliminary talks when they were talking about coming in and finalizing the location, all that back in the spring, they were going to be, some pretty good paying jobs with this, depending on what you do, obviously, whether it's the light manufacturing or the R&D, as they call it, for research and development. But we think that it's just another step in creating a atmosphere here with tying into the university and the Space Science Center, where we can have a, as Congressman Rogers affectionately calls it, a silicone holler, where you have these type of companies want to come and be located to this type of facility we have here. And we think, in talking with the Regent folks, that it's their plan that eventually they will be bringing some people with them who do other similar type applications.
One thing that you always have on the agenda every month during the regular meetings is you deal with future growth development. We've talked about, obviously, the visioning effort, too, as well. Did you talk about any of that or discuss it at this recent council meeting?
One of the things we discussed, and it wasn't that in particular, but there was a recent grant that was applied for in conjunction with Tourism Joy Brown and with Tony Pence and Downtown Moorhead Incorporated, and they were able to write a really good grant and receive $5,000 for wayfinding. So that's just a small part of what we're wanting to do with our visioning.
What exactly is that?
Wayfinding is where it's signage. So someone can literally find their way when they come to your town, trying to have a plan that is, you don't want to have all different kinds of signage. You want to have some sort of a structured setup to where coming up with what we want to be our brand downtown, for example. Moorhead State University is working on one right now. The city and county and some other agencies have been included in that, and Moorhead State is working on their own wayfinding, where they want to come with a certain scheme, certain colors, and also be able to make it consistent all the way through campus. Well, one of the things we want to do is, whether we tie directly in with that or we have some sort of a modification on that, we would eventually, through the visioning program, like to have our own for the city and the county. For example, when you get off of the exit 137, you would like to know where the hospital is, where the police station is, where the city hall, and then any attractions. We have some of those sporadically, but they're not very consistent. And if you notice, they're not consistent in scheme or color or something that allow you to say, well, I'm here, so I know if I follow these type of signs, that'll get me to all the government buildings or all the hospitals and those type of things. So we're hoping that it's a small grant. It's just going to be a start, maybe in the design phase and those type of things. But it's something that, if you notice, when we live here, as you and I have, many, many years, and those who live here, we know where to find things. Well, if you've come in here as a visitor for the first time, or a prospective student, or someone who's going to be recruited by the hospital, or a teacher in the school system, or whatever, we've heard it many times. It's hard to find your way around if you don't know, landmarks and those type of things, we take it for granted. So you have to, and one of the things university did, they brought in one of their consultants that was looking at this and was going to bid on the project, and they just went through as someone who they'd never been there before. So they wrote down, you know, we can't find this, we can't find this, it would help if this. And those are things that we think are important. If you want people to come and come back, you want them to be able to come and get to where they want to go, but also you want it to be able to just easily find certain important things and places. So I'll give you one example, the City Hall. The new City Hall has been over there where we are now for, I guess, about 4 years. We have people that come in right now. And when you Google or when you go, it will send you a lot of times to the old City Hall. So wayfinding can be signage. It can be working and making sure that if you're going to use online presence and you want to be able to Google certain places, go on and work on those type of things. And it's something, again, we take for granted, but if you think about it, first time we go to a place, you go to a place for the first time, you want to know where to find places and how to find things. So it's a simple concept yet, but it's something I think will really help. And that, again, if we're going to track people downtown, we want to be able to tell them what's down there, how to get there, how far it is, those type of things.
It still, though, plugs into the overall visioning effort.
Oh, yes, definitely. Well, that's one of the things that they really wanted to do. You know, there's so many different things, so many different components to this visioning, but that's one of them to be able to, you know, help people get around once they get here.
And talking about the visioning efforts, and I know this is something that involves long-term planning for the city and its downtown area in particular. Where is all of that right now?
Well, when I came on and was able to start as the mayor in January, we had some early meetings, and one of the things I learned, I wasn't privy to the ones before, but there's been a couple of these over the last 8 or 10 years, similar. So one of the first things we did, we wanted to go back and look and see what's been done before, not try to reinvent the wheel and then add to that, because from my understanding, some of the ones in the past were grant-based, and once the grant money ran out, they kind of, you know, this is as far as we can go with it. But there was always a plan for future growth or future change in that. So we've tried to go back, and again, working with the university, they've had long-range plans, and working with the county and the hospital and all the other areas, major players in the area. We are to the point now where we've gathered a lot of information. We've had several meetings over the last 8-9 months on looking at those plans, trying to find the best parts of those plans and moving forward with new ones. I believe we've had over 600 or 700 surveys completed now on just basic surveys, what people like downtown, what they don't like. We've had several hundred were submitted by the university, whether it was staff, faculty, or students. And so you think about 700. Doesn't sound like a lot, but when you realize we're a town of roughly 7,7500, you get a 10%, survey as far as a snapshot of what the community likes. We feel like we've got a good idea. Now, that ranges from what they like downtown, what they don't like, what they would like to see, and we're going to take that again and put it all in, and hopefully eventually, don't have a date on it, but we like to say sometime in the early part of the year, new year, we will be taking some of that out and to the public and again and showing them what we've found and getting more public input. But it is a long process.
So you're kind of going right now through all the old plans that had been put in place in terms of building the future of the town, just to see what you might be able to use from those and maybe what kind of fits together?
We did that early on, and so we've kind of moved by that. We've kind of used some of the ideas that was done early on, and now we're building on that and then taking these surveys and trying to find public comment on what we feel like the public would like to see. So it's just like it's like you're putting together, you know, you're building a bridge, and you're taking it step by step. It's not something that's going to be done within a month or two. It's going to take, you know, several months to get to where we're ready to actually say, okay, what's our first phase of making the change? And what? So, you know, I don't know of a timeline, but I would imagine that we'll see something coming out probably first of the year, maybe up till spring. I know Mark Arnold, who is the key. The lead on it for us, he keeps us updated, and we have meetings every now and then with the results of the surveys and those type of things. And right now, one of the interesting things that he's doing is he's going through and he's creating a 3D model of the town the way it is now, which is something we've not had before. You know, we've always had just the maps, or we've had different plans that were over the show how it evolved, but now we're actually doing a 3D model to see exactly what we can change, how difficult it would be as far as buildings and streets and those type of things. So it's just a process. I mean, it's very interesting to go through it, and we just ask the people to be patient. And we're trying to do, you know, this is not a 1 year range. We're trying to do this for the future.
We're on the front page today. Again, our guest is Moorhead Mayor Jim Tom Trent, and we'll talk some more with Mayor Trent in just a moment right here on the show.
There are many ways to connect with Moorhead State Public Radio. Log on to WMKY.org for enhanced regional news, on-demand audio and video, breaking news from NPR, and information on your favorite programs. Get links to Facebook and Twitter while you listen to our live broadcast online, or download mobile apps from NPR and take 90.3 FM with you everywhere. Connect with your community and Moorhead State Public Radio. Visit WMKY.org.
Welcome back to today's front page. I'm Chuck Meraz. Our guest is Moorhead Mayor Jim Tom Trent. In the last few minutes, we've been talking about the visioning effort here in Moorhead. It kind of leads me into a couple of other things. The four-way stop downtown at Bats and Oates and Main Street, that's been sort of an experimental thing over the last few months. Have you reached any final decisions there?
Right now, we're thinking that we're just going to go ahead and go forward with it. And right now, our question is, we've not really had a formal discussion about it, but one of the things we wanted to say, do we want to keep the light flashing? We don't want to take the light down, because in the event that we would need to ever put it back up for some reason, it's very expensive to put it back up. You're talking about $80,000 or $90,000, somewhere in that range, just to put another one back up. So do we want to leave it flashing like the one down at US 60 heading down to the lake that's been up for several years? It's a smaller light, and it's been very successful. As for all the feedback that we've gotten, you know, there's some people who just won't like it no matter what you do, because it's a change. But to be honest with you, we've had no accidents there. I'm sure there's been near misses, just like there are at every intersection, but we've had no accidents. And we've not had a real negative input from it. Almost everybody I talk to says they like it. They think it slows traffic down. I've talked to a lot of the students who use those intersections to go back and forth. They say it makes it easier to get across. So right now, we're just going to just keep on rolling with it, and it's our plan probably to make it permanent. But everything's subject to change, and as you know, the old saying is, well, it's working right now, and it's doing what the purpose was, and that was to slow people down and to make it a little bit more pedestrian-friendly. And as long as that continues to be the case, we'll leave it up.
It's kind of like an injured ball player. You know, he's day-to-day, but aren't we all?
That's right. That's right. Exactly right.
Another thing that's going on in terms of long-term development, there was a recent effort made to preserve the Rowan Veterans Museum building, along with the former Rowan County Jail building, a couple of old 80-year-old stone structures there. That's between the Adrian Dorn University Center on the MSU campus and the Rowan Arts Center. And those buildings, it appears, will be sticking around, and there's going to be an effort made to fix them up. And I heard last night that the city has talked about maybe getting involved in that effort in some way.
Well, one of our council members is Jan Bishop, and Jan is on the Arts Committee. And she had talked to us about passing a resolution to support, their efforts in trying to rehab those buildings. Again, they weren't asking for any financial support. They were just asking if we would support that. The council voted unanimously to support that. And she said they had been working on plans and been talking about what they wanted to do for it and how they wanted to do renovation, and also the plans they had after renovation. And they also they're working on plans on how to raise the money for that. So, again, that's a situation. We talked about it last month. I can see both sides of the argument, so to speak. There are buildings that a lot of people want to preserve, older buildings, because we don't have a whole lot here in our downtown area that have been preserved. But on the other hand, if you're going to preserve them, you need to have a plan, and you need to be able to use them and not look up 20 years from now and they're still there and there's nothing's been done to them. So I see both sides. And if someone has a plan to use them and they're going to be used for the community's benefit and they're going to be fixed up and maintained, then that's great. But you know, if it's something that someone can't do or if it turns out it can't be done, they can be better used for the community for other things, whether it's remove them or whatever, then I think it has to be looked at.
So really, when you talk about the situation, the final chapter is far from being written.
I think so. I mean, I think that what fiscal court, and I wasn't in the meeting, but from what I understand, they voted not to tear them down, and they voted not to give them up at this point, that they were going to talk to, and I guess they had formed a committee to look at, and I think that's where Jan is on the committee with another council member. And so they're just going to wait and see what kind of plans that they come back with as far as how you're going to do it, how you're going to raise the money, and what are you going to do with it afterwards. And from what I understand, they're working on that, and I think it just remains to be seen. Time will tell, I guess, is the best way to say it.
Anything new regarding the public safety center that's been proposed?
Well, that is a weekly discussion. We, Joe Parson and myself and a couple of council members and other people are always looking for what we think will be the best piece of land or the best use of. We always want to be good stewards of taxpayers' money, so we don't want to run out and buy something or we don't want to do something just for the sake of doing it. So we're constantly looking at not only where we could locate that, what kind of an impact it'll have to right where it's at, and the bottom line is, how will that enhance our police and fire service here? Because we don't want one on one end. We want it to be as centrally located as possible, but we also have to make sure that we can afford it, and we also make sure that we do it right so it's not a 10-year building or buildings. It's a 30, 40-year buildings or buildings. So we still haven't decided. Depending on what kind of land, what piece of land we end up finding, we haven't decided it's going to be two buildings or a joint building. The one we talked about before was going to be joint. It turned out after the survey it wasn't going to be large enough for it, so we're kind of back to the drawing board again. And we have two or three sites we're looking at as possible building sites, but there's just a lot more to it than just simply saying, oh, we'd like to have it there. There's just so many things you have to look at, but It is a discussion that happens weekly. It's on our mind. It's a goal of mine to get it underway as soon as we possibly can. And council's backing that. They want us. They're out wanting us to do our due diligence and make sure that we find the best piece of land for the money. And that is also not only that, but that will serve the entire city in the way it should be. Because the biggest thing is with police and fire or any first responders, you want to have the best response time you can have. So you try to have it as centrally located as you can, because response time can save property and potentially save lives. So there's just a lot of factors, but I tell everybody every day that we talk about it weekly. And if anybody has a nice piece of land they want to come and donate, please give us a call. We'll always listen to that. Unfortunately, those are few and much far between, but I see it happening in the near future. Just can't put a timetable on it.
Yeah, and I would think finding a location is tough when you talk about a tight downtown with the topography that Morehead has with the hills. Finding that right spot may be one of the biggest challenges you face.
It is, because we're looking. We need a minimum of 2 acres, and as a good friend of mine once said, you know, that they just don't make it any. They don't make land anymore, so you have to go with what you got, and. There's just so many things. It's not as simple as, oh, well, there's a spot, we'll put it over there. Well, those aren't readily found anymore, really, in the downtown area, without having to tear things down and maybe even do some rehab again to the land. And again, those are all costs. And you have to, you can't just say, well, we'll tear this building down and put it there. There's a lot of costs with tearing buildings down. There's a lot of costs with going in and repairing before you even start building the property. So, again, we know what we can budget for that. We kind of have a range there, and we start adding all that up. And once we get to a point, we say, well, no, that's not going to work. So we had a plan, and it's just taking a little bit longer than we want to. But, we started this back in January, and I hopefully will see something in the next couple of years.
Mayor, as always, thanks so much for joining us on Front Page. We appreciate your time.
Appreciate you having us, Chuck. Thanks.
Again, that's Morehead Mayor Jim Tom Trent on Front Page. I'm your host, Chuck Meraz. We'll see you next time.